If Murray has supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
The Blubbity Blah.
Sending out good vibes.
Good vibes. Underneath breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the Grime America Show. 9 days till Christmas, coming at you with the one and only John C. Dvorak from No Agenda. In the morning to the No Agenda folks that might come over and check it out. There's always a timestamp in the show notes if you want to skip the intros, you sons of bitches. But, even if you guys are skipping the intros, support the show, grimeamerica.ca/support. And we got everybody's favorite podcaster, Graham Hattrick Dunlop. Did you get a hat trick today?
No, it's kind of a scrimmage thing, you know. I got a couple goals, but you know, it was just over. Oh, I can't find No Agenda website. It was just like an over 45 thing where, you know, a bunch of people show up. Like, we had 18 guys show up the other day, or 20 guys, which is great. So you just split it up into two teams and then you go for it. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's really great. I'm enjoying it. A
few more months and I could get in.
Yeah.
Into the over 45 league.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some good players in there. Yeah.
So what's a scrimmage? Just not a real game?
Well, no, it's not you keep track, you know, but there's no sometimes we kind of have a ref to drop the puck and stuff to slow the game down and, you know, kind of, but it's not it's not an official league or anything like that. It's just, there's enough guys to play, you know,
kind of like a week or so before.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Yeah. Kind of like throw the sticks in and just, you just, it's like random teams, right?
Yeah.
You got enough guys to make two random teams every time. So I play against some guys and then with the other, you know, with them again next time. So it's been fun.
No chicks.
No chicks.
Oh. No matter how hard they try to enforce some gender roles, or is it men only?
Well, it's just no over 45 chicks are going to be interested in hockey.
You never know. Could be some real heifers out there. You're in the middle of the plains. I mean, there's probably some over 45 ladies out there that can fucking hammer you down playing in the corner.
Yep. It does remind me of the old days of playing like so much hockey back in the 90s and the 2000s, like the early 2000s, you know. It was pretty interesting playing in all those men's leagues and how much we used to play back then.
I was playing a lot of hockey in the early 90s.
Probably. Yeah.
But then, it didn't last for me. It was probably like an 8 or 9 to like 16 sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, where are you going to go from here? I wasn't good enough to, you know, I wasn't going pro or anything. So I was like, well, fuck it. There's probably in my hometown, I'm sure there's plenty of leagues. And it looks like they're still playing in that same old arena. Same old shithole that
I they would be. I mean, this arena is nice, but it's been there for I think it was from the 60s or 70s. So that's really interesting how old it is. And it still looks great.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty easy to upkeep an arena, I guess, right? There's not much wear and tear. Everything's kind of rugged already for the skates and the, you know, you get that like heavy duty rubber flooring. I remember when they didn't have that yet. I remember when we first got that installed and it was a big like, yeah, I could
wood
walk.
Planks, you're walking on wood planks and stuff probably.
We used to have to put on them fucking skate guards all the time and like walk down to the ice with the skate guards on and then take all those off and. There's just one more thing for a kid to try and fucking keep track of. You know, now you got a couple skate guards you're fucking carrying around.
It's so weird because the guys that I'm playing with, like they were playing with sticks. Like they remembered when sticks were straight. There was no curves because there's some guys that are quite old that are playing, right? 76 years old.
What?
They're talking about guys that are in their 80s playing in the city. Like they play like They play like lunchtime in the city, and they're playing still in their 80s, these guys. And they play with like they're talking about old shin pads that, you know, they had like wood dowels in them and straight sticks. And I mean, it's just fascinating how, you know, because these guys would have grown up in like the 50s, 60s or whatever, right? 70s maybe. And then, you know, then they're still playing.
They got to see the real heyday.
Yeah. It's pretty fascinating.
I wonder if it was actually a heyday or if we were just suckers the whole time.
I think we grew up in the heyday. I mean, I think the heyday was the 80s. Like, but anyways, I mean, I don't want to get into it. Pro hockey now is so, I mean, I don't really watch it, but it's just so much better than I saw a video on it where they're saying how good the players are now. Like the third line guys are like unbelievable. Like, it's almost like the goalies can't keep up in a way. Even though the goalies are really good, like the talent level is so high now in hockey.
Oh man, if you threw one of them like goalies from today back into the early 90s, it'd just be like locking down shutouts fucking constantly.
Yeah.
Like I wonder how Vetchkin would do in like against the 89 Oilers or something, you know? Because they were pretty rough and tumble too.
Oh yeah. They had their goons and stuff, you know?
They had their goons.
Gretzky played with a goon on his line. I mean, that's how, you know, like they had the protection there. They didn't want to mess with them because who was it? Who was the guy? Poplinski? Not Poplinski. That was a Calgary guy, but it was, who's the guy? Who's Gretzky's protector there for a while? I can't believe I can't remember this.
Not Larionov or something like that? Or
No. Oh my God. He was a little weasel. Yeah.
Well, Gino Ochik.
No, that was before that.
I think that's when I was watching. Because that was back when they had like Pavel Bure and stuff was playing for the Canucks.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that was Bure was awesome because he's probably my age.
The Russian Rocket.
Yeah, the Russian Rocket. Yeah, he was great. Because Dave Semenko was the guy. Yeah. And Marty McSorley. Marty
McSorley, that's the guy I remember.
Yeah.
He was in Edmonton, then in LA.
Dave Semenko was Wayne Gretzky's primary on-ice bodyguard and enforcer during the 1980s. He served in this role for parts of 10 seasons, protecting Gretzky during an era when tough enforcers were essential to the team's success.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a game in a minute either. I think the Oilers are pretty good, though. As of late.
I noticed some pics of you hunting in the cold, freezing cold.
Yeah, it was pretty cold. We only got one duck too.
Oh wow.
All day. And it's kind of sketchy hunting on the river, you know, when it's cold like that, because the river's there and it's cold as fuck. And it gets deep fast in some spots, so you know, you gotta just sort of watch.
Frozen there or?
The river never freezes, but it'll build up some like ice on the sides, and there'll be like big ice chunks jammed up on the side eventually. It's not cold enough for that yet, but there's definitely a bunch of ice everywhere. But all the ducks seem to be gone. I heard there might be some ducks down by Lethbridge. My buddy, or not some ducks, but some Canadian geese. My buddy Eric killed a limit of Canadian geese down at Lethbridge just this past weekend. So
are they running late or what's going on?
They seem to be running late. They seem to be running super late. So, I mean, they shot like 40 geese or something like that in a day. 48 maybe. So I'm thinking if I could tie into that, then one more time it'd be worth driving an hour and a half down south. And so I emailed a guy down there to see if I can figure it out. Maybe run and do that one more time. I mean, it's been nice here for a few days. Probably I've been in the office most of it, but it's I think it was plus 10 yesterday and maybe plus 8 today. It was pretty good. I mean, most of our snow has melted now, just 9 days before Christmas.
Which is a storm tomorrow. So
I thought we were supposed to have a storm too. Actually, I thought we were supposed to be storming by now, but it's only Tuesday, right? So maybe our storm's coming from you. Because I think our storm maybe is Thursday. Let's see what it says. Weather. Ooh, storm starts tomorrow. 1 to 3 centimeters. But before that, it said like 10 centimeters we were supposed to get. So that must be missing me. I'm going straight to you.
Yeah.
There you go, buddy. Yeah, so I don't know. That was probably the last hunt of the year. Honestly, I'm working on... I mean, that was the last waterfowl hunt of the year, probably. Anyway, I'll probably still, if the weather's decent, I could still use either another big deer or an elk, probably. I emailed the base because there's a couple hunts in January.
Do you guys have warnings in there in Alberta now?
Like yellow?
Orange. So we have orange warning for tomorrow.
Oh, dude. So, you know, it's fucking weird. As I went to the, we didn't have that here. That's brand new. So then I go to the Azores and they have this weird warning system for rain, like orange, yellow, red, I think, or something like that. And I'm like, what is this? What does yellow rain mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that like the color of the rain? Is it going to be yellow rain?
No, it's just
true. And someone was like, well, no, that's just like the medium warning. It's orange, yellow, or yellow, orange, or whatever it is. And then for how hard it's going to rain. And then I come back here, and like the first or second day, I look at the weather, and it's like fucking orange wind or something like that. It was like orange something. I was like, man, we're doing that now too, just like
the
that.
The guys in hockey were making fun of it tonight. They're like, oh, it's orange warning. So maybe Buddy didn't show up because it's an orange warning, you know.
What? Someone didn't really
do it? Well, they're just joking. We're just joking, right? No. So orange warning blizzard.
So those guys know you well enough yet to know what you do?
No, I haven't talked to them about that I'm a podcaster yet, no.
That's going to be a weird one, huh?
I've said I narrate audiobooks. I work from home, but I, you know... I'm still feeling my way around. I don't want to like alienate myself from the whole small town when they realize like,
so what's the sense of, you must be starting to get a sense of these guys though. Where are they at with everything?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of like on my regular team, they're all talking about hunting. They're all hunting. Everybody's into hunting. Like you would just fit right in with all that. So there's a lot of that, but then some of these older guys, I get the sense that there might be a little bit of
TDS.
Boomerism, maybe a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to. I'm trying not to judge.
Has there been any politics in the dressing room?
A little bit, but not a lot. Not enough to. A little bit, but I.
Did you get a sense of anyone though? Is there anyone here that's like Lefty Lou or something like that, or is there any safe havens?
No, I'm not gonna. No, I'm not gonna say anything.
No. No. God damn it!
I don't want to talk about this stuff.
What's the
air.
Point? What's the point? Then you could write off your dues. You just got to give us the dressing.
I mean, it's going to come out one day. Like one day, that you know, it's going to come out one day.
It's going to come out one day. It's going to be like some dudes. Hey, I listen to your podcast.
I want to get to know them a little bit, you know, so they get to know me a little bit before all of a sudden, like, oh, this guy's a fucking conspiracy theorist, you know.
Conspiracy theorist, possible anti-Semite.
Everything. I mean, they'll just throw. I mean, this is the problem, right? I mean, this is what we're going through. These names don't mean anything anymore.
Names don't mean nothing. We have a good chat, of course, with No Agenda, John C. Dvorak. It's interesting to see how much they've grown over the years.
Yeah, noagendashow.net is the website. You can listen live in the chats there. They got a couple thousand people. Every time they do the show, twice a week. And John's also in, like, he does another podcast too, and he's a tech, he was an old tech writer. I think he got canceled for 5G, like, from his old job.
He got canceled for 5G. So, yeah. And I wonder what he got. We should have asked him what he got, because he got canceled before that too from Twitch, right? Or Twit, whatever, This Week in Tech. For something different. And then it was for his 5G, right? He got fired for the other one.
and now they're talking about 6G already.
But he was talking about his being a published author on the show. He was part of the lawsuit against the AI. Right. And I meant to ask him about that, if that's something we should be a part of.
Yeah.
Having published a bunch of stuff. I don't know if there's anything in there, but there might be something. I mean, I think they were talking about $3,000 a title. That ain't bad, man. That ain't too bad. So check that out. Check out No Agenda. I mean, most of you, there's such a big crossover in the show and between the shows that I just assume most people listen already.
Yeah, it really is. I was going to say to him at the end, but we kind of didn't want to keep him longer than we said we were. But I was going to tell him about our roundups and how we've learned so much about their deconstruction. Like, I really have learned a lot. I mean, I was overboard for a little while, you know, listening to other stuff and listened to a couple of shows. And I mean, they really do good deconstruction. It's really been invaluable to learn those things, you know? Yeah, because I forget. And sometimes I tell people, like, you know, we've been deconstructing this news for like 10, 15 years. It makes a difference, right, on how you see things, and you forget that other people haven't been doing that. So they believe everything they hear.
You think anything would have been different if we had never listened to any No Agenda?
100%, yeah. But like, I was having a chat with my sister tonight, and I was talking about how, because I get triggered when people use talking points that are false, right? When they hate something, you know, it pisses me off. And it's because I've the No Agenda sort of mindset, right? And I remember telling my sister during COVID, I'm like, I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that's not true, right? There's a difference between knowing the truth and knowing what's not true. It's much easier to discern what's been lied about, right? So you don't always have to find the truth. You just have to start realizing what's not true. And then you kind of get closer to the truth by doing that.
Maybe.
She would challenge me like, well, how do you know that's true? I'm like, I don't know. But I know that that other thing is not true that they're saying.
And that's good enough.
There's a big differentiation there, I think.
Yeah, well, I suppose the other thing we should touch on is that in case people, everyone that's coming on the trip already knows, they've already responded, but maybe you couldn't come in March. The Easter Island dates have changed to April 23rd or 22nd to 30th this year instead of March to accommodate the guide. So people want to get in on that. It's a month later. You got a little more time. Let us know. Easter Island is going to be a fun one. It's going to be a good one. I was looking at some pictures of Easter Island today. It looks like a pretty cool spot. And it's not going to be so run aroundy. We don't have to go to so many islands. It's just one spot. Hang out for a week. See some new stars. Maybe do some fishing. There's a free day in there. So I haven't started looking into. Casey's looking into what sort of the extracurricular possibilities are. If people want to check that out, of course, contact@thecabin.com. Or also, you can get in on a deposit and a payment plan, or just buy a ticket for the Malta trip that's coming up in early 2027. We got a couple of Randall trips coming up this next year. We've got the solstice at Serpent Mound this summer coming up, June this year, right? June is the solstice?
Yeah, June 21st.
And then I'm getting a bunch of people asking about Duck Creek again, or if not Duck Creek, at least Utah again, doing that, which I assume we would do Duck Creek. Although I have looked at some pretty cool possible spots that are not like that lodge, that are like, I mean, the one spot had two houses and a waterfall on the property and some petroglyphs on the property and just a little bit more ability to enjoy the night sky and all that without having to go anywhere. Not that you couldn't do that so much.
Yeah, we had to do a lot of driving.
Yeah, we had to do a lot of driving, which you'd probably still end up doing because you're not going to go there and not go to Zion. Zion's pretty gnarly. But yeah, you could maybe be a little closer. I mean, it wasn't bad actually an hour. So anyway, looking at doing that. I'm waiting to hear from Lord Tony of the Pies, Lord Tony Pies, over in the UK, in Leicester, about next year, because he's coming out, of course, to do some hunting, and that's what, he's sort of my helper, so we're going to do at least one few-day thing in there for two or three days, maybe two, we'll see how it goes, but looks like that'll be like the last week of October, first week of November. There'll be some hunting stuff coming up. Are you? What are you doing to that cat?
Stopping it from misbehaving.
Yeah, it looks like he does kind of look like trouble. I don't let my new cat in here really too much because he's just a destructive mess most of the time.
This one gets up to the screen and blocks it and scratches, and I take it off the desk every time, and it's like it still does it.
He's pretty trouble.
They're all so different, you know? It's so weird. This one just won't stop sort of getting in trouble. The other ones are fine.
This one's pretty trainable, my new one. Like, if I go tap the bar stool, they'll always come over and jump up there. It's cool. I never really had a cat listen to me before.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're like Zeus. I'll go call him, and he'll jump on my shoulders, like, from the ground. It's pretty cool, yeah.
He doesn't claw you up?
Oh, yeah, he does. But
yeah, that's not okay with that.
So you're talking about hunting what? You're going to do, like, you're thinking about doing what?
Well, we'll probably do a couple little goose hunts next year again if people want to come out, have a time.
And what about the other, like, what about the lower mountain, what, the foothills hunting? Like,
I'm not going to do quite so long. After doing that with the boys, you know, it'd be pretty hard on, if you haven't done it before, it's really going to tear you up. I mean, it really is. It's hard to do it even when you've done it. Or like, I was in mid-season almost already, and it was still hard to pull off. So I think we'll kind of split it up into like maybe a 3-day and a 4-day or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what the details of those will look like exactly yet, but figure out something like that. I definitely want to push it back. I mean, it was kind of hot this year for sure. Pre-snows. I wanted to do it when the snows are running. And then maybe shoot some big game. I mean, we'll see. I mean, people can email me if they want to sort of be on the wait list type thing for that. The other thing people can do is support the show. I mean, we do need some more support out there. I did want to say thank you to David Gagnon for supporting. Sent us $100 on Stripe. So thank you. And other than that, it's been a pretty slow few weeks.
I might have an email from him.
Do you?
I have an email from somebody about support, so I'll read it. Hey guys, it's been a while since I've donated, but here's a bonus for Christmas. I'll keep chipping in until I get that Lord rank. Love to hear about these hunting trips, Darren. Been to BC in September, where I got to shoot my first elk bull at my uncle's place near Vail Mount. Amazing experience. I'm planning on going back next year, late September, and would love to combine this trip with yours. There you go. Not sure if the date would match, though. If you already have the dates for next year, please let me know. If there's room for an experienced bird/big game hunter, I'd be happy to be part of it. Well, there is room. Wow, I'm glad I realized I had this and read it. It's perfect.
It's a synchro.
All the best for the holidays, guys, and thank you for all the great content. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate you. You could be
go. I mean, geez, the hunt with Darren would be amazing. Yeah, try and time it that way.
Yeah, I'll have the dates locked in once Tony's going to figure out his schedule over Christmas holiday and let me know what's up. We'll have that probably figured out in the early new year. Have that sort of, but people should come to Easter Island. The other thing, people should support the show. Like I say, we said thanks to Dave, only supporter in a few weeks now. We need you guys to join those ranks. If you're getting some value from the podcast, you want us to keep it on the air or the whatever it is. The quasi air on the internet. Want to keep us going? EdwardGrandAmerica.ca/support today. Sign up for monthly or make a one-time donation. We need more people like Dave to say it bluntly. With three times as many people as Dave. The other thing you could do is you could head over to GrandAmericaOutlawed.ca and sign up over there. That counts. We'll give you credit as being a supporter over here too. And get some audiobooks at outbrain.ca, of course. But the most important thing, if you're listening to this show and you like it, America.ca/support. Sign up for monthly. Make a one-time donation. I mean, $2 a month. If you guys all signed up for $1 or $2 a month, we'd be laughing, to say the least. So you know, a small amount makes a big difference. If you guys want to sign up, the other thing I should say, check out the back catalog. I mean, we have people that have been around for years that still have no idea when I tell them, but they'll email me and be like, oh, he should have this guy. I'll be like, yeah, we had one twice back in the early back catalog. So it is worth a check. There's 740 episodes now of back catalog goodness there. And we came out swinging with guys like Stanley Krippner and, you know, guys that would never come on the show now, like Chris Ryan, Red Pilkey, people that would never fucking, Micah Hanks, people that not come on the show these days. But check it out. Check out that back catalog. Support the show. And I don't know what else. What else you got?
That's about it. Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. That's a wrap. I think the Cruising with Steak guys are coming to Serpent Mound too.
Oh, that'd be great.
At least Grimsteak, and then maybe we can find out James's real name.
Yeah. Are we doing something for Christmas at all, or what's our plans for that?
No one's reached out to me yet.
Yeah, I'm okay with keeping it low key, really.
If no one asks, then we'll just fucking fly under the radar.
Yeah.
Keep it chill, keep the show going, but only if you support us.
Check out our roundup too of some deconstructions we're doing over there. Outlawed, Grand America Outlawed.
Yeah, check out the roundups. You guys probably like those. Other than that, enjoy the chat with the one and only John C. Dvorak.
John C. Dvorak, welcome back after 2 years to Grimerica. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing very good. I'm learning how to be fascinated with what's happening in the world instead of constantly disappointed.
No. Normally you're talking about hockey. So that's my understanding.
You just started playing hockey again.
I never played hockey, so because I can't skate that well. So
I have a game in 4 hours. And you know what happened? I moved to this little tiny town and they started an over 45 league.
Yeah. And you jumped right in.
Perfect. I'm like, oh my God, thank you. Try and get back into shape a bit.
The one thing a lot of people who like to watch sports have to appreciate the fact, and I know I kind of go off into a hockey rant.
That's okay.
They appreciate you. If you go to a live events, of all the live events you can attend, hockey is without question, the absolute best of the group. It's better than football, which is stalling constantly for ads and, you know, advertising timeouts, and basketball, which is, you know, it's kind of exciting, but not like hockey. Hockey is, if people would like to go see sports events live, hockey is the game. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty fast. But, you know, it did change. I think it was in the 90s where they started adding the TV ads. Like, it did start to slow the game down a little bit. They were doing TV breaks. They would come out and sweep the ice. That's fairly new. I mean, when I grew up watching it, they never had that. But I guess that's kind of natural. They got to, you know, include a little bit more TV time in there.
No, remember when Fox was doing that thing where they put the highlight on the puck?
The little blue dot.
Yeah.
Show you the streaming, the trail of the puck. I used to always have a puck in my freezer. Very few people, everyone should have a puck in their freezer because it's a conversation starter. You could bring it out of the freezer and say, and ask some people, what do you think this is? And they won't immediately think it's a puck, but once they realize it's a puck, it's quite fascinating to keep one around.
Around here, everybody would know it was a puck right away would be the problem. So, yeah, it's been an interesting couple of years. We've actually finally been able to make the jump to full-time podcasters ourselves, among with all the other crazy stuff we're up to in the background, which is some stuff I'd like to talk to you about, because you've been in the publishing industry for a long time. And, you know, I'm wondering sort of what your take on this AI coming up is and how that's going to affect. I mean, it seems to be doing some plagiarizing on different levels, depending on the different mediums. But Adam's sort of been pretty adamant about its demise through the course of the show. But you've piped in from time to time and given your two cents. But I don't think we've really got your sort of overarching thoughts on where this AI thing is heading over the next couple of years. Because my personal experience with it is it seems to be getting worse quickly.
Yeah, I'm not getting that. I think it's getting better. I think there are some systems that are failing because of whatever reason. Some of them, ChatGPT, for example, version 5 seems to be when version 5 first came out, everyone who knew anything, they knew that this was a dog. But overall, with the art and the music, and some of these other systems that are very complicated, as opposed to the writing, which is the typical people use it for, and people use it mostly for writing, but they also use, I mean, the biggest use is for search. It's changed the search business completely, and the good systems, where there's, you know, I use Perplexity and Grok most of the time, and they always have footnotes so you can check the sources, because once in a while there will be, I did a search recently over some screwball thing that had a lot of misinformation about it, and they came back with the misinformation as though it was a fact, but the footnoting, which was pretty thorough, clicked right back to the bad sources, and I saw immediately where it was getting all its information from. It wasn't getting it from any place else, so the information was sour. And I found that I didn't have any trouble identifying it as such. I find that these systems are quite fascinating. The problem, and Adam uses this as the basis, and I think this is a problem, they're too expensive. It costs a lot of money. They're getting some, I don't know how many millions and millions of uses a day per every one of these systems, that they're losing money on each search, basically. And until that gets corrected, which it should naturally be corrected by the Moore's Law and the fact that things get cheaper to do. I mean, Bill Gates identified this years ago when he did an early interview in the very early days of PC Magazine. Before it was run by Ziff. He did an interview that was quite fascinating, because he had identified the fact that you can put together crappy code. And Microsoft would know. You can put together crappy code that's functionally, it works, but it's really slow. You don't worry about it, because what happens over time is it speeds up by the technology speeds it up. You don't have to speed it up. And that's, I think, the same thing with AI. If they get some new breakthroughs in the chips, we have to remember that with AI, most of this is done with a corpus or a giant large language model, and in between you and the large language model are these neural networks that are designed to decode the large language model and give you a result that makes sense in terms of the way it's put together. So the neural networks, the neural networks were faddish during the first artificial intelligence boom in the 80s, and they all went out of favor, and a lot of the research had been kind of put aside because people were going for things other than neural networks, because they couldn't get them to work. In fact, Intel even had a chip that they made. It was a neural network chip. I have a copy of it in a drawer somewhere. And they had a neural network chip. I don't know why they stopped working on it, but they did. And once the neural networks, and then meanwhile, of course, that whole AI thing collapsed in the late 80s. And so when the neural networks were reinvented to do what they're doing now, if you look back back to the 80s, when neural networks first came out, there were, at the very end of their cycle, people were learning how to optimize them before the whole thing was shelved. The whole AI thing was thrown away. But they were optimizing the neural network so the network could take a shortcut. And the Chinese may have been doing that with their neural network, because everyone who's in this game, they talk about the Chinese products having a more efficiency. And I think that a lot of the overhead, the cost of getting these systems to work may be solved by optimizing the neural networks, and it isn't going to cost so much compute power to do a search on something. So I have a positive attitude about this. I mean, the thing might result in a catastrophic market collapse at some point, where the stock market and it will take everything with it, very much like the dot-com situation in 99 and 2000. It has all the earmarks of that, but that's a few years away, at least two. So I think that now's the time to enjoy this stuff.
Do you think ChatGPT can pull it? Like, do you think there's hope for them, or is this like this folly with five? Does this like point to systematic problems that can't be solved? Like, is it time to abandon ChatGPT?
Oh, I think they can probably fix it. I mean, there's ways around it. It's a lead, still basically the leader, the ones who really pushed it the most. I mean, besides the fact that Musk was first part of it, that he's not, and Musk is important. I don't know about ChatGPT, to be honest about it. They may or may not fail. I don't like this roundabout financing thing that we keep seeing, where they're going to give somebody $700 billion and they're going to give to somebody else $700 billion. It goes round and around and around. I'm giving it to you and you're giving it to him and he's giving it to them and they're giving it to this guy and then I'm getting it back. I mean, this sort of thing is scammish. And so that doesn't bode well.
Well, we pay monthly for it, and we noticed a difference probably. I don't know when it was, if you noticed it, Darren, but a few weeks ago, where it just started being really slow. Like, I mean, I couldn't even get pronunciations of words in less than like 30 seconds or minutes. So, I mean, I just had to stop using it, because I'm not going to sit there while I'm in the middle of reading a bunch of stuff and have to like wait a minute for it to answer me on a basic question. So I started using Grok for a bit. And I don't know if that's, I don't know if it's fixed it or if it's gotten any worse than that.
Part of the problem is it's arguing with me. I mean, it's like I'm trying to use this thing to do research, and I'll be the first to admit some of the research I'm doing is fringe, but it's still like I'm not here to fucking argue with you, man. It's like, this, and it's like, I feel like it wasn't doing that so much in four. It would just be like, look, I'm looking for information on this. Find me what you can, but I can almost see the guardrails going up in real time.
That's no good.
I think there's a problem with the energy pricing too, which this is kind of, it might fix. I mean, if we had proper energy pricing, I don't think it would cost so much for these things either. I mean, and that's one of the things I'm excited about, is just for them to finally get innovative with energy and get a push to give us, we should have abundant energy. And obviously in Canada, the Europe, even the States, everything's been slowing down because of this net zero grift. So I do think it's positive that that's sort of pushing through that whole scam as well.
Yeah, the problem with energy is it takes the ramp is years, especially for nuclear. I mean, it takes 3 years to build a plant and get it going. You don't have that kind of, I mean, it's, what do you do in between? I agree, though. Energy is become a ripoff.
Yeah.
People can't, in California, especially, where we're still paying $5 a gallon for gasoline in this state.
Well, have you heard the shortcut that Elon wants to take? I mean, it sounds like he might disrupt this whole thing by going solar-powered satellites, creating this AI. I mean, I don't know if you've seen that recent sort of post and what he's supposedly going to do with with SpaceX. I mean, that's pretty crazy. But I mean, that could kind of ruin this whole physical industry of building all these plants and getting all this new energy if he could just do it all from satellite. I mean, the amount of energy he was talking about producing up there is like the same as the States itself. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, Elon has got a big imagination. I suppose it's possible, but he's going to beam it down, which is doable. The technology's been there. It's known. I mean, I'm not going to say he can't do it because he's pretty ambitious. He single-handedly got electric cars back on the road.
Yeah.
Made him a thing. And his SpaceX, which is somewhat exploitative because, you know, NASA was falling apart and he just scrounged all the top guys. The Elon's, if you want to think about Elon and what he does best, Elon is one of those few businessmen who know how to pick people to work for him. This is the hardest thing in business to do, to find a partner that's reliable. I mean, you might be able to find, like, you two guys can work together, but could you run a company with, 10,000 people and have the right managers put in place and be sure of it? I mean, it's possible. I don't know you that well, but I know I can't do it. I've managed people, but it's groups of 20 maybe, and it's like, already you get into trouble. So people like Elon, who can actually put together a company the way he is as a person, is astonishing. There's other guys like that, and they're all remarkable, and they get a lot of money because that's a skill that is unobtainable by almost anybody. I mean, you just can't do that. And so if he could find the right people to put something together like that, he could probably pull it off. But it seems ambitious to me. I mean, he's at his limit.
Well, Darren, did you have a more specific question about publishing? Because I do have an example of what might be a microcosm of AI kind of ruining a little website. So there was a website called Drive Through RPG, and it used to house like everybody's like role-playing games that they would make and they would sell. Like, so it was all the RPGs in the world probably were sold on this site called Drive Through RPG. It's been going for
an RPG is like Dungeons and Dragons or something
like Dungeons and Dragons, like
the role-playing games,
a role-playing game. Yeah. And now it's just been absolutely flooded by AI because people are making their own stuff and just uploading it and trying to sell all these things. So I don't know if that sort of platform or website will ever recover from just being absolutely flooded by all this new AI content. And I mean, and the makers of these games are also going to AI. So, I mean, it's not like AI is not going to be used in that industry. I mean, you know, Wizards of the Coast and the big toy company. Why can't I think of the name of the toy?
Hasbro.
Hasbro are fully on board with doing everything they can with AI. So I think maybe that'll just be a shift in the way, you know, people buy and sell things and make things, but it's going to disrupt some things along the way, obviously.
I'd say there's going to be a lot of disruptions and things are going to shift and the marketing is going to change and people are going to, but if you start flooding the market with garbage, which I have to assume is going on because that's what AI does. It does it with writing. It does it with art. It does it with music. There's good stuff in there, but then it takes an editor type person, you know, someone who can oversee what's going on and then pick and choose. Like, for example, in the No Agenda show, we're one of the few shows that has original art for every episode as our album art for the podcast. And, we started this a long time ago, and it ended up becoming kind of a community of artists that like to contribute. This is it's a kind of a competition. It's basically gamified.
No Agenda Art Generator, right?
NoAgendaArtGenerator.com if you want to check it out. And by the way, it's NoAgendaShow.net if you want to check out the podcast.
Yeah, thanks. I was going to say that at the very beginning. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, there's the kind of art that we're getting. If you go to submit up in the corner there, where it says submit, you get the latest stuff that just came in. So we have a bunch of things, and we'll pick one of them for the show. and condemn some of them and critique some of them. And it's a cute segment. And but it's gone to, I'd say 90 over the last year, it's gone from original art to 90% AI.
Yeah.
And, but some of these guys, we have a couple of people that are just phenomenal AI prompters, and they can produce, they not only produce winning art, but they also produce a lot of it. And so they flood the zone with the art. And, so it's up to us to pull out the pieces that were, they can't, this is kind of interesting. They can't, it's maybe partly our fault because it seems like a hit and miss thing what we pick, but it's not true. We really, they're very thoughtful. But so they instead of submitting maybe two original pieces or one that they used to do, now they do 10.
Oh, not right.
Many, but they do 8 at least. There's 8 pieces, and a lot of them are variations, and some of them are different. And so we get, oh, great. Now we got a whole bunch of these things that got kind of figure out with it. And they're not as quite as charming or soulful as the original art, but some of them are quite funny. Some people hit a home run somehow. I've one of our best guys is this guy, Darren O'Neill's out in the Midwest, superstar. Artist, and he produces a lot of pieces, and I've asked him for his prompts, and he's every once in a while something will come up and he'll give me the prompts and what it took to get to the art piece. And they use different systems, but it's like so alien to what I would say 5 or 10 years ago in particular. It's so, everything's changed. It's just a massive change, and it's I don't know if it's sneaking up on everybody, but it's sneaking up. It snuck up on a lot of people.
Well,
not us.
You guys resisted that for a while. I mean, let's talk about that change. I don't remember if I heard the exact time when you guys said, okay, AI is okay. But you guys were like, Adam was against it for quite a while. And then there was a point
I was never right. Adam was against it. Adam is the Luddite of the two of us. even though he's more of a nerd than I am, in my opinion, he was against it right off the bat because he just saw he doesn't like these the I don't know if he thinks it's a cheat or he doesn't think it's, or maybe sincerely doesn't believe it's any good. That's, I think there's a lot of that, but a lot of it isn't any good. And I always thought it was okay. Well, you know, let's just look. I wasn't that adamant about rejecting it, and he started accepting pieces. And once he got one in, and another got through because nothing else could beat it, and then another one, and then all of us, so he caved. And once he caved, and everybody started doing them with no fear of complaining, although Adam still complains, and he bitches about certain models and I'll complain too for some people that use some models and they don't clean it up. If you do AI, you're going to sometimes have to clean it up. You have to take the piece, put it in Photoshop and do something to it. Some guys won't even do that. They just throw it out there. But it's a massive shift. I mean, there's nothing like it was 10 years ago. And this is going to affect, I think it's going to affect the music industry next. That we already know that our pals over at Spotify have cheated the customer by putting in phony music and not having to pay royalties. There's no reason for, you know, AI to not create music completely and then have it transcribed and then sung.
Is there any copyright issues in any of that on where it's scraping the data from and the original files? I mean, with the writing, it seems harder because people have been sort of reading and rewriting stuff for millennia. But with some of the voice capture and the music capture, like is it taking information from other songs and interjecting it there? Like, is there a copyright problem? That's my take too. Is it has to be? Because even
but nailing it down. So what's going to happen? We're already seeing it. Is the big boys who have all the licenses because they've screwed the artists out of them. they're just going to do these fundamental deals where, yeah, you can use all the stuff anywhere you want here. You just give us, you know, $50,000 a year, you know, or whatever. And so there's going to, and all the music publishers will do this, and they're all going to be in, and then the music starts to come out, and they can exploit that too. It's the whole thing is exploitation. I mean, the art in general, whether it's writing, whether it's visual art, whether it's singing, it's all exploitative. Artists are taken advantage of because they really want to just be artists, and if they and make a living, they don't want to get filthy rich. Generally, a few do, and a few do get rich, but most of them don't. And so this system is, makes all the middlemen. They're paying the bills for a lot of people. And this just is going to be part of that system. But there will be lawsuits in between.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm wondering how they're going to get through those lawsuits, because that's my take too. I'm like, well, when someone whips up an AI voice to read this thing on a YouTube video, I'm like, well, it's getting that voice from somewhere. You know, it might be mixing some John Dvorak in with some Grant Dunlop and whoever else down the line are taking bits of this voice and adding it to that voice. But it seems like just high level copy.
The voicing is going to be tough because, for example, we have a couple of people doing, we have songs at the end of the No Agenda show that are mostly now, I say 70% AI. Adam caved on that real fast. It used to be, you know, he caved because the guys who are normally producing this stuff, they all got tired. And so the AI guys moved in and took over. And there's a couple of people that do Broadway style songs. They sound just like a Broadway musical tune. They got the same voicing, the same presentation style. A lot of them sound a little like Sinatra, but not. So a lot of the voices that you just take Bing Crosby's voice. It's got to be public domain by definition. And so you use a Crosby mixed with a Russ Colombo, not to mention people that nobody knows what I'm talking about, but a few guys out there do. You mix a bunch of these baritones with some other people, and then you create a new voice that's a winner, and you use it over and over again for certain songs that you write. I don't think they're going to be able to do a thing about that.
Interesting. What about when it gets into, like, because we produce audiobooks, so one of the plays we're watching is, like, right now it's like, well, at what point do we, because right now our stance is sort of, we're just not fucking around with the AI, because everyone can notice after a while, you know, you can.
AI can't read well. It makes mistakes. I mean, they can't read my name.
Yeah, and it can't add the sort of nuance to the reading either. It sort of adds
it does it randomly. And it's not accurate. It doesn't, you know, you can have it do it over and over again, and sometimes you never get it right. Usually the first read is the best. I've been noticing this because I've been creating stuff. But it's not as good as a real person. There's no question about it. It doesn't mean it can't. And in fact, that little element, the reading, especially a long book, it will never. This reminds me of another technology that goes way back, and this is simpler technology than this. This is the technology of handwriting recognition. It's never gotten past 98% or so accuracy, and 2% inaccuracy is terrible. It's you have 100 letters and two of them are off.
Yeah, it might be fine on like a note that you left on the counter, you know, a little one page note that you might be able to still pull
out. Yeah, but you're right. Imagine it scattered throughout a book. Every two letters out of 100 are wrong. That's no good. And it could never get, it is yet to get past that. Even screen reading, it sometimes screws up. You can't do it. And so the reading of a long book is never, I can predict this person. Wow. I'm pretty convinced of it. Will never be good. It will always have a percentage of screw ups and like misreads. You see, and as soon as you hear a misread where like two words are jumbled in some funny way or they're not separated correctly to make sense of a sentence, when you, as soon as you hear it, it's kind of shocking to you, and it's not pleasant. And this is, so you're not going to get rid of people that actually can read out loud.
So do you think that's like a time? Is it just because of the length of the book on how we can get this thing to sing, but it can't read it? I mean, it just seems to be this weird thing. And no matter how good it gets, it's like they can get the AI. It'll fool me for maybe there's like a time there. I don't know if it's somewhere between like 30 seconds and 2 minutes. But if it's like any longer than that, it seems to be like, wait a second. This is a fucking robot.
Actually,
and once you figure it's a robot, you just can't get that out of your head.
Right. That's a fact. Now, the thing, I think you hit on something here, which I have not heard yet, but I'm going to use it. I'm going to steal that from you, which is the idea that length has something to do with it. So if you have a 2 minute Broadway musical tune that somebody put together, if it's got a screw up in it, you're going to spot it right away. Just have it redo. So it's easy with it within a 3 minute or 4 minute time limit, somebody singing with a chorus. But to talk for 3 hours, no, not going to happen. So there is, I think the time factor is important. So we can realize that a short, like reading a short memo or a note, yeah, maybe you can get away with that. But reading a book, no, not going
to
happen.
Well, and then, I mean, you've got to add in too that a lot of the books that we're talking about are old. You're reading a scanned PDF or something like that, where the AI needs perfect text. I mean, I can't even get my fucking AI and my Adobe and stuff like that to even figure these things out half the time. You know, it's like, just take this page from this old PDF and put it into a nice Word document so that I can deal with it over here. And it can't even do that. I mean, it's coming up with letters that I can't even make with my keyboard.
Yes, yeah. Right. This is the same thing. It's not going to change. AI can't, that problem is not fixable. AI can't fix it. Nobody's ever going to read a book using an AI voice. It's not going to bother you. So that's not going to happen. I think the singing, though, a song with, you know, there's only so many words in a song anyway, is doable. And I think the music business is going to be hit with this, because there's going to be, eventually there's going to be a genius out there. There's always a genius in any of these fields. Some guy has got a clue, a clue that when he does it, it's going to be one of those, I could have done that. Oh, I should have thought of that. Which is always bothersome in tech. Tech is loaded with that moment where you slap yourself in the forehead and say, if I was just thinking right, I would have gotten that. And somebody's going to do that with music, and it's going to destroy the business.
Well, I was thinking, you mentioned Sinatra. You guys could do, if you're No Agenda Music thing, you could do Sinatra, but just spell it with N-O-T in the middle.
Yeah, we could.
What do you think? Because I mean, the other thing we haven't mentioned, I'm sure some of the listeners are jumping up and down, is what about from the control aspect? If you looked at this from the conspiratorial sort of things, it's with just been this long march to them being able to control everything we type, read, see. I mean, Trump, if people are paying attention, kind of already know, but Trump just sort of mentions in passing the other day that they're using 5G to spy in our houses and stuff that. 6G.
6G, yeah, sure. Nobody's spying on your house with 6G. let's stop right there. So that's nonsense. There is a, you know, they would let you, I mean, law enforcement in particular would love a surveillance state. I mean, we always have to, no matter where you are, because it makes everybody's job so much easier. And this has started with the Clipper chip or whatever it was from like 30 years ago. They tried to put in television sets. The FBI wanted that big time. But it's been a never-ending struggle. They do want to do digital ID. They're probably going to get somewhere with that to a point, because that's going to help track everybody. But it's not going to be the complete solution, I don't think. And it's going to be resisted.
What if it comes from corporations? I have a question, because I just came across this before the show. Just came across it. A website that I use just said they're going to ask for my age verification.
Oh, what porn site was that, Graham?
It was another Dungeons and Dragons website.
Oh, okay.
It was Dungeons and Dragons Beyond, D&D Beyond.
How old do you have to be to play Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, five.
Well, it was the adult version, but no, I'm just kidding. I mean, this is my point. I think it's the first time I've seen, and then I started thinking when you were talking, I mean, maybe it'll come from the corporate environment where people have to start doing that to sign into websites for your, you know, for whatever you're using, whatever games you're playing. And then is that just one step closer? It's probably one step closer, right? I mean, if they're sharing that information, then.
Yeah, it is. It is one step closer. And when you run into that, you just don't use that site anymore. You just boycott the site, and people have to do that. You know, okay, you lost a moment of entertainment or whatever. But if I see something like that, I've seen every so often somebody wants to do this, pull this stunt. No, I got other things to do. There's lots of stuff on the internet, if you haven't noticed. And there's lots of competition on the internet, and a lot of it's international. You don't have to do anything. And so that's my approach.
So is this Australian thing, though, that's happened going to push it to the West pretty quick? Because I think that's why that now they're using it as an excuse. They're like, well, we have to do it for this, so we're just going to do it for
everything. Yeah, you always come up with some excuses. It's for the children, usually. Yeah. I would say the Australia test, I would call it a test, is gonna, they're going to see how it does. And then they're going to, you know, the guy who's the premier there, did Elmer Fudd. The guy looks just like Elmer Fudd. He's an idiot. They're going to try it, and they're going to try to push it over here. England's got a better shot at it. They've got the public there, pretty much ruined. And, it's, you know, it's a struggle. It's going to be interesting to see how people put up with it. They're not going to put up with it. I don't think, I mean, I think over maybe 20 years from now, I'll be singing a different tune. But I think people, if you talk about the resistance, this is the thing you resist.
Yeah.
We're at that point, the resist point.
We don't have enough resistance. That's the problem.
Well, you're in Canada, though.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. Do you have any sort of any thoughts or predictions on this weird relationship that's going on between Canada and the U.S. and Western Canada threatening to peel off? And now, there's rumors of this new H-2B visa coming out that where Trump's going to start letting in tradesmen from Canada, Australia, and places like that.
I don't have any thoughts on that special visa. The Canada-U.S. Bickering is, I'm not sure what that stems from. It seems to stem from a trade imbalance. So even though they're blaming it on drugs, which is, I think, a red herring. Trump uses red herrings to get his way. He's pretty good at it. So I think he wants something from Canada that he's not getting. We don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Not sure who knows what it is, but he knows what it is. And it's just one of these things. It's kind of amusing. Canada and the United States have always had this kind of a funny relationship ever since the War of 1812, which Canada likes to talk about and we don't. We always talk about the War of 1812 as something that happened. And Canada likes to see it as their victory, the victory spike in the ball. And so there's always been this funny little back and forth between Canada and the United States, which is somewhat enjoyable. I spent a lot of time in Victoria. I've been all over Canada, pretty much all the provinces except one of them. And I haven't been to those little dinky ones out in the middle of nowhere, Prince Edward Island and places like that. I've been there, but nobody has. I don't really know. But it's just it's fun to watch. It hasn't really. I mean, you guys have taken the brunt of it, insofar as your money becoming less valuable. But I don't know what's going on. To be honest, to be honest about it,
we've taken the brunt of it because, you know, it enabled Mark Carney to get in. I mean, he basically opened the door for Carney to get in. Now we're stuck again for I don't know how many years. And we're going to have a liberal majority soon, and we'll be under all kinds of interesting.
I'm always under the impression that Trump had something to do with getting Carney in.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's, you know, Trump should have wanted to, what's your other guy, the conservative?
Pierre Poilievre.
Yeah, whose name I can never pronounce. By the way, I was in the parliament being taken on a tour once in Ottawa, and I was taken into Mackenzie's offices, which were then being used by that French guy who was years ago.
Chrétien?
Yeah, that guy, another name I can't pronounce. And so they showed me the secret exit. This is, they should make this part of the tour because it's not normally seen. But behind the bookcase, they opened the bookcase, and there is a stairway out the back of which was Mackenzie's office during that era. And he'd sneak out and drive off in a car because the reporters would be out in the front, I was told by the person giving me the tour. The reporters would be out there haranguing him, saying, we know he's in there. He's got to be in there. And so he'll escape. He escaped out the back. And then the reporters, they'd let him in. And Mackenzie was nowhere to be found. And
Mackenzie as in the consultants?
No, Mackenzie is one of the early prime ministers.
Not Mackenzie. Okay.
Yeah, the early, one of the old, back in the day.
I thought, I didn't think those consultants went that far back in their own office, because I thought that makes sense. They had their own office right in there.
Mackenzie with a Z. You're Mackenzie.
Our Mackenzie's getting like $22 billion a year from our government. I mean, you would not believe how much they're spending. It's mind-boggling.
It doesn't surprise me. All these aristocratic-run countries, there's a lot of money being siphoned off by the aristocracy, the monarchs.
Yeah.
How much longer can that last? Is this sort of financial great reset inevitable, do you think? I mean, you've been following the markets for a long
time. Yeah, I've been following. There's going to be a market collapse probably. I mean, if Trump has his way, he'll put it off. It should happen next year, actually. But Trump can push it off. If he can push it past the midterms, it'd be okay. He has to be careful that the market doesn't collapse before the 2028 elections. It's definitely going to crash when the next president comes in office, and he's going to get blamed for it. This is going to be very similar to when we had Reagan, who saved the economy in the 80s. Then George H.W. Bush became president in 88, got elected in 88, took over. And there was a market crash during his term when there's no new taxes, bull crap, and all the rest of it. And they had to raise taxes, which ruined him right there. And then Clinton got in, and whereas Bush should have gotten reelected, but no, because of this little collapse. This is going to happen to J.D. Vance or Rubio, whoever becomes the next president. They're going to get one term and then going to get booted out, and the Democrats will be back in and we'll be all screwed up again. You heard it here first.
Yeah, that's a good prediction. I like it. How is Trump going to hold it off?
He's going to manipulate the market and whatever he can do with the Fed. He's going to get that new Fed guy in there, and he's going to overdo the lowering of interest. I bet. It's not going to take much, and it'll prop up the market artificially for a good year. He can do it.
What about the debt?
The debt's a disaster.
Is there any is there no comeuppance on that where it's not just a market crash? It's is there any point where the bottom just falls out of this thing?
Well, there's two ways of dealing with it. One, they think if you get the interest rates low enough, it lowers the interest on the debt somehow. And so it's easier to pay off, and he thinks he's going to pay it off with tariffs. Okay. So he's getting some money in doing that. The other thing, the normal way that the debts are taken care of is with hyperinflation. So, which is something you don't want to talk about, but hyperinflation, And it doesn't have to be hyper in the sense of Argentina or Brazil or Venezuela.
Just super inflation.
Yeah, just bad. If you get the inflation rate to 10%, that means that you can pay back the debt with cheaper dollars. And that's the old trick the Democrats used to use to pay down the debt. And I think they were even trying to do it during the Biden administration, to be honest about it. That's where they were giving away money and letting the interest rates crank up. But let the inflation rate crank up. So, which would have probably helped, even though it's counterintuitive and it's not good for anybody. But if you can reclaim the industrial base, in other words, bring all the industry back to the United States, so you're not dependent on imports so much, you can pull that stunt off. Because if there's no imports, you don't have to worry about what the dollar's worth. You just make it so it's hyperinflated, pay off the debt with cheap dollars, and get back to normal. It would take a number of years, but it does require reindustrialization of the United States, which is what Trump's trying to do. I think in the background, this may be going on.
Wow. So do you think that Trump's going to give his financial guy, they're going to give some money back to the people next year? I mean, it sounds like they're starting to talk about it again. I have a little bit of a prediction that it's going to come with the caveat that you need it in stable coins, so they'll get everybody on the digital money that way.
Well, the stable coin gambit is quite good. Adam's the one following this closer than I am. He's the one who spotted it. And I have to say, it's probably something to it. This is basically the methodology to pay down the debts through some sort of scheme, which I can't quite fathom. But it's also a way to bypass the Belgians and the SWIFT banking system, which is already trying to screw the Russians out of their money, and go to a system that we control instead of the Europeans controlling. All the banking, international banking, is controlled by the Europeans. We don't like that. And so the stablecoin can accomplish that somehow. There needs to be somebody. There has to be somebody out there that's going to write a definitive short book showing us exactly with details how this is going to work. Because I can kind of get it, but I don't get it. So
yeah, it seems to be different in the way that it's tied to an actual dollar. So it's like, it to me, like I almost feel like we already have that in Canada. We're doing online bank. I mean, we're pretty much in Canada using online banking and tapping our cards. I mean, we're almost there. Really, it's just not called a stable coin. It's a dollar in Canada, but I mean, I feel like.
But it's electronic for all
intents and purposes. It's electronic, but I think that they're tokenized. They would tokenize that so that, you know, maybe
yes,
way to transact with it as opposed to our just transferring stuff back and forth through our.
I don't like the idea of the direction that you're going there. I don't like the idea of the digital money at all, because I think it was Cyprus or one of the smaller countries that they just basically stole everybody's money. What do you have in the bank? You have $100,000. Well, now you have $90,000. We've taken 10 of it because we need it.
Yeah.
What? You know, which you can't do with hard currency, but.
Well, yeah, and they're even talking about using, all the Europeans, the money in their banks as collateral, which means, does that mean they're going to eventually have access to it if they want? I mean, it's crazy, some of the stuff.
I mean, I actually have that rule in Canada. Didn't Trudeau sign something in that basically says if they need to, they can come and take your money?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that to be true. Yeah, yeah, well.
Well, I have so many questions for you, John. I mean, I wanted to get into maybe the C5, but I also want to talk to you about the new media and stuff. Darren, do you have anywhere you want to go? Or
no, you can go ahead.
Well, because it's, you know, I listened to the last couple episodes and I was pretty fascinated by it. Okay, let me put it this way. It seemed like there was some pushback on you guys. And I felt like it was like you guys have won the war against the mainstream media. I mean, I think people were saying like, okay, enough of analyzing the mainstream media. You got to start analyzing the new sort of the podcast sphere. I mean, and you guys talked about it on the last show, but this has been sort of simmering for quite a while. But now we have all this stuff going on. Like it's kind of, you know, these platforms have kind of taken over the mainstream in a way. I mean, and now we have like this Nick Fuentes versus Piers and Candace versus Tim Pool. And I mean, there's these big battles going on in this
fake battles
space. Like they're big battles, but in a lot of ways it kind of has taken over the mainstream. So are you, how has that affected your guys' deconstruction? And have you had to switch to kind of listening to more long form content instead of clipping the mainstream? Or I guess
that's we're trying to figure out how to get into a feud with you two guys. I haven't figured it out.
Well, that's not going to happen. We're just trying to avoid all the drama.
We avoid feuds. We just ignore them.
We don't like hockey. So, I don't think it's changed. I think what we've done is we've just redefined what's mainstream media. For all practical purposes, Nick Fuentes is mainstream media in terms of, if you want to, although he doesn't provide us with a lot of content. Candace Owens, we don't really clip her, if you haven't noticed. I don't know if you've ever heard a clip from her show. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think so. She's a classic online troublemaker who is quite talented at it. There's a guy called What Do You Meme? This character as a black guy, What Do You Meme? He goes after Candace he's on YouTube. You should check him out. He is obviously a pro. I've watched him a lot. He is an expert, the way I see it. He is a professional COINTELPRO analyst. I don't know where he comes from or what he's doing, but if you watch him, you go, this guy's not fooling around with his doesn't deconstruct. He analyzes intelligence, and he goes after her and breaks her down like nobody else does. And it's obvious that it's not necessary for us to really be looking at her too much, but we're a little, we can't not be aware of the fact that there's this click, a circle jerk of podcasts that go, everybody goes on each other's little podcasts and they go around and around and around. And then they have these fake feuds and they get mad at each other and they talk about each other's podcast, and they're not providing any real benefit except pure entertainment. And so we still stick with going after NBC and CBC and, you know, France 24 and those guys. They're still putting propaganda out there that needs to be looked at.
Darren, do you have anything to add to that at all? Or
is there a sort of behind the scenes battle right now for that propaganda front? Is that where some of these guys like Fuentes and stuff are coming up from? Because in some ways they don't seem totally organic. And, you know, it's kind of like these, I don't have cable. But you know, when I used to have cable, you turn on the thing. When I go to my in-laws, you know, it's the CNN, the MSNBC, it's all those. But when I turn on when I pick up my phone and go onto the social media, it's sort of this entirely different landscape, but it also has the same players. You know what I mean? It's like when you think of Hollywood and the movies, you've got all these sort of main actors and you got all the news anchors, but my social media feed has turned into that too. I mean, go on to X and try and not find see Fuentes's face on there, or try not to see before Charlie Kirk and now still Charlie. But you know, it's almost become my phone is it's a separate
your phone is
your media.
Yeah, no, your phone is deceiving you. Your algorithm, what you just said, for example, what you said, I go on social media. I don't use it necessarily on the phone, but I do it. And I have done it off phones. I don't like using the phone at all. But the algo has given you Nick Fuentes. I've voluntarily gone and watched Nick Fuentes and looked at what he's up to. He's a really talented guy. But he never shows up in any feed I have. And I don't have that many feeds. My feeds are from LinkedIn, from Twitter, X formerly Twitter, Reels and the Instagram thing, where you got the guy with what I get mostly, because I because the algo does this to me. I get the guy with the, I don't know if you've seen this guy. I see him all the time. He's wearing a white, a yellow hard hat, and he's wearing an orange vest, and he's watching disasters take place. Yeah. That guy.
I got this him too.
This is the funniest guy in the on the internet.
And yeah, yeah.
That guy.
There's been a couple people try to copy him a few times too.
It's not possible. He, because if you go back far enough, you see he didn't even have the hard hat on for at the first when he first started off. He developed that character. You know, he's looking left and right and giving faces, and it's always this looks like pretty much the same. It's almost like the other bull crap that I see, which is the latest bull crap that I've identified as such. And I should have, I probably knew this was fake from the beginning. You see a bunch of them. A woman goes up to a porch. She grabs a box and she, I'm stealing this package. And it blows up in her face and she's covered with paint. Okay, this is bull crap. It's always the same fat chicks that are on there and they're falling over and they're covered with paint from head to toe from what appears to be an empty box when they pick it up, because there's nothing in this box. You can tell when somebody's picking up a heavy object and a light object just by their body language. When it's a light object that just comes right up, you see it. It's an empty box. They're picking it up. Now they go down to the car and then a big explosion takes place, like there's a quarter stick of dynamite in the thing, and it throws paint all over the person and the car, and then they yell, usually pretty much one or two or three things. Are you kidding me? Is one of the lines they use constantly. Are you kidding me? Or I'm going to sue you. Or I'm going to call the cops. It's always, they don't have any creativity in the lines. And so they, and the person's covered from head to foot in paint or powder or whatever. This is bull crap. This is, you know, this is a lawsuit. If it's ever happened to anybody, they sue the person for blinding them, if not blowing their head off. The whole thing is a scam. I think it's designed as a propaganda stunt to keep people from stealing boxes.
Yes. I was just going to say the No Agenda take on that would be like, that's Amazon, like making
Amazon's AI producing the videos
to get rid of the porch pirates. Oh my God.
They have a studio. Amazon has a studio. They can produce as much of this kind of crap as you want.
I love it. Same
place they filmed the moon landing.
No, it's a different studio. That studio has been taken down as far as I know. So, so you see these things, but so you watch this social media. The other thing that I got stuck on, I got my algo tells me, it gives me, cooking demos of horrible people that can't cook. They throw in a bunch of ground meat and tons of cheese. They mix it up with a bunch of goo and other than beans and all the rest of it. And then they stir it around and then they serve it up. And then there's another video, another guy can't cook video with they're cooking something and they're putting a bunch of cheese and it's just disgusting. And so these the whole social media thing is ruined by fakes. And now with this, with the one I got this morning, which was a classic AI, the AI is now infecting it to an extreme. Big fat chick, you're going to see this one, it's going to kill you. Big, hugely fat woman with giant thighs on a balance beam in an Olympic event. She comes on and they have the announcers talking about, oh, she's going to do this and that. And she comes walking out and she does a flip in the air, which is by the laws of physics are literally impossible. She does a giant flip in the air and comes down on the balance beam and breaks it into a million pieces and goes flying on her face, lands up on the ground on her butt and holds her hand up like she stuck the landing. This is one of the funniest AI videos I've seen, but I don't know how many people are going to think that's real.
I've already noticed where people think stuff is real, usually boomers. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys, you don't think this is real, do you?
Well, the boomers have an issue. I'm a boomer. I'm an OG boomer. But I was always in tech. So I don't, you know, I can see this coming down Broadway. A lot of boomers never got a clue, but it's not just boomers who get suckered by this. I'd say a lot of people in general will believe the fat chick on the balance beam.
Again, it's being saturated. I don't know how long it's going to be able to last. Unfortunately, there is some that are so funny that it's kind of, you know, it's.
Oh, the fat chick on the balance beam is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's funny how quick the body positivity thing went away.
Yeah. Well, Are you objecting to my use of the term fat chick?
No, I was just thinking that, you know,
that they allow it on there. Really.
That you never even used to be able to do that stuff until they came out.
That's true. You're probably right.
And stuff. They kind of set that back where we could call people fat again.
Yeah, well, they're, you know, she's fat, but it was designed that way, so it would be funnier.
But back to the propaganda, though, because, you know, Nick Fuentes and Tim Pool, for example, I mean, they're both very talented. I mean, it's hard to know. Like, I feel like a lot of it is organic. Tim's put in the work. For Tim Pool's, like, our peers always controlled op, he's this and that. But I mean, the guy has put in the work, and yeah, maybe he's funded by some people, but I mean, his culture war deconstruction is top notch. So it is hard to know sometimes what is organic and what's just, you know, what's out there.
Well, a lot of it, and I'll vouch for Fuentes on this one. Fuentes puts in the work. He does 3 hours a day daily. And this will get you an audience. I mean, our audience is largely limited by the fact we only do two days a week. If this was noticeable when the blogging era began some years back, when blogging first was a big deal, people who posted and posted and posted and posted and posted and posted, they posted all the time. They were just posting like maniacs. They got huge numbers of followers. If you only posted once in a while, you know, it's just, you don't get the numbers. So putting in the work really is like doing the work. So you put a lot of work in, you get a lot of response. People, I don't know why people want to watch so much material that's long form daily. I mean, the number we're long form at 3 hours, but you know, Fuentes goes 2 hours mostly, but sometimes longer. I was watching an interview show with what show was this? It was a deconstruction with the guy Farmer, the guy who's married to Candace Owens.
Yeah, you mentioned that 5 hours or whatever, 6 hours.
5 hours plus. Yak, 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 yak. He couldn't even watch it. You got Rogan is a 3 hour long format. I mean, this is in contrast to TikTok, and it's interesting to me that it's gotten as far as it has and so far as its popularity. I'm stunned by it that watch 3 hours of this and that.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. And Nick is talented too. I mean, he is very, he's pretty funny. He's talented, and he's also right about a lot of things. I mean, and they don't ever want to really talk to him about his they want to just skip right over his arguments a lot of times. I mean, that's happening in Canada right now. They're just labeling all these groups, you know, Nazis and white supremacists, but they'll never actually just talk about the
their
stance on things and their website. It's unbelievable. I can't wait till it starts to lose power, and we can it is starting to lose power. I can't wait till the power is gone from the just calling people names.
There's ops out there to destroy some of these people.
Yeah.
I think Candace is a target. If you watch the What Do You Mean guy, What Do You Meme guy, he is a pro. And he's going after her in such a way that I don't know how anyone could watch any of his presentations and even take Candace seriously. He just nails it. And you can do that with these guys. See, that's the difference between us and these other guys. We don't, for one thing, we're not an interview show. All we do is look at news and we say, look, here's what, and we've both been in media forever in one form or another. And so we can spot the little gotchas, the little tricks, the little use of language that's not fair, the journalistic bull crap. And all we do is just completely show, or we try to show people, you guys are good examples, you know, what trickery is involved here and what they're trying to do. And is it something that's coordinated? And you can spot the coordination after a while when you keep doing this. I mean, I was never 20 years ago so into the game we like to play on the show called Spot the Spook. Which is figuring out who's working somehow with one of the intelligence agencies. And it turns out that when you're looking for it, you're going to find it, because a lot of the number of people that are involved is super high. And you get to, as soon as you see one and you spot them, and you can document that they are by their bio or their lack thereof, or some other scammish thing that's in their background, then you can take their stuff this is bull crap. This is probably, they're trying to brainwash me. They're trying to gaslight me. They're trying to fool me. They're trying to trick me. And that's all the show does. And we try to get people so they're kind of armored as best that we can do. And people like it. So they've been happy with the show. And that's where we've been going almost 19 years.
What's the best way for people to find your stuff? Listen to it. You're not on video, right? Just RSS feed?
Yeah, it's RSS. You can go and get the RSS feed, or you can find it somewhere here or there. Most podcast apps have us available, almost all of them except Spotify, and for reasons that we talk about on the show. And you can go to noagendashow.net, and you can see the various episodes and pick the latest one, pick a couple and start listening. It's a great show. Anyone who drives, commutes to work, perfect for them.
You guys have a lot of live listeners too. I mean, if you can, like, some people were bragging about like Nick and Tim's live listeners, but if you guys have 2,000 people in the chats, I mean, how many people, do you know how many people you have listening live?
We have about 2,000. We have between 1,500 and 20. Our biggest number, which I have right here, I keep it up.
But that's just in the chats, though, right? That's not everybody that's listening live.
No, they're in the chats listening live. Okay. You can't be in there without listening. We had 4,000 once. It was like, and it was based on the show. Our whole success is based on the news cycle. If there's something that crazy that happens, all of a sudden everyone's listening to us because we have a take on it.
Yeah, there was something that happened. Was it the Trump election or something? Something that happened, I remember, last year or two, where everybody went to you guys. Trying to remember what it was. Maybe it was even Kirk's thing. But yeah, it's interesting how people will go to you as a trusted source when something major happens to see what your deconstruction is like.
Because we're not influenced by advertising, as you guys aren't. So we can say what we think.
After Trump was shot, that's what it was. Thank you, frightening meme 6464.
It's we're trusted because we don't have any influence, outside influence. We're not members of the government. We don't work for anybody. I think the government guys like us. And we do get a lot of input from them. We probably get some cash from them now and again. But we have an honest take, and we both have a different, slightly enough different perspective that we can triangulate on something. And if one of us doesn't catch it, which is the good thing about it, you guys have the same idea, which is you have two people, you're not going to be just the one guy in the microphone, yak, 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 my opinion, blah, 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 with no pushback, which is necessary to make these things work and analysts work. You have to have somebody else saying, well, I think you might be wrong there because I think it's this way. So we can do that. I think it's a public service, the show that we do.
100%.
100%. I think we got to 4 or 5K live viewers one time, and that was right when we got banned and shadow banned because it was our vaccine debate show.
Oh, vaccines.
Yeah. It was in the process of going viral when Facebook was like, wait a second.
But that was 2017, you should mention. That was
2017 or 2018. Yeah. Oh,
well, you must have been feeling good when the COVID-19 vaccine came out.
Oh, yeah. That was our little victory.
We've never taken a position on vaccines one way or the other. We presented all the guys that were taken off of YouTube. The whole thing that with COVID, which got me right when it first happened, I remember it. In fact, I'm going to probably write a Substack. By the way, Dvorak.substack.com. Check out my column. I'm probably going to write a Substack about how we got onto the right side of the COVID argument. It was right after the thing broke out, and there was NBC Nightly News, CBS, everybody was at the, they were in New York, and there were ambulances flying all over the place. It was a live report, and they're all going to this hospital, and they're bringing in giant trucks to bring, so the corpses can be put into the refrigerated trucks. And they go over there, and they're all, you see the sirens and lights, and they're out in front of the hospital, yak, yak, yakking, and doing the, it's called a stand-up when you're out there by yourself. And so, that same night, a YouTuber comes on, does a stream, and he comes out and says, here's the hospital. I don't see any ambulance. And it was the same. He says, that earlier in the day, you saw the reports, and he's at the exact same location. There is no ambulances. There's no trucks. There's nobody scrambling around. There's nothing going on. And he's saying, I don't get it. You tell me. And he goes in there. There's nobody around. He takes a walk through the place, and that YouTube video was taken down within days. And when, but I saw it, and I think we even had a clip of it. That was the end for me. That was obvious. This is an op of some sort that I don't like. So we were very skeptical from the get-go.
We had been primed for that. You know, we see, we, for us, it was like a slow movie, watching this movie in slow motion, because it was like, we could almost guess what was coming next, but you didn't want to be right, because from the get-go, I was like, yeah, there's no way they're going for this right now. That's going to be like the slow play, and it's going to be the scare, and then they're going to come back in a couple of years, and they'll lay it on a little thicker. But they just kept their foot on the gas. They just
flattening the curve was the beginning.
2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve.
Hey, we're not. It's not over, man. We just have stuff going around on X. There's Canadians, you know, passing around these studies that say that less early, what is it when you have an early birth?
Prenatals?
But like an early birth.
I know what it is.
There's less, there's like with vaccinations get like less early births, and they're trying premature, to, they're coming up premature. With the premature births. They're coming up with these studies now that it's just, so it's still flying around. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening in Canada. We're still fighting this. At least you guys have some wins from Maha does seem to be, you know,
Kennedy
wins. I mean, they really are. I mean, I was thinking about it today because we're reading some of the stuff from the podcast, and I thought about the way that the whole childhood vaccine now is that schedule's getting like analyzed in a way, especially after they pulled the Hep B one off the mandatory list. And I'm thinking, This might be the only way you could do it, is to logically do it. Like, you can't just go in and shut the whole program down. Like half of our conspiracy friends are just like, it's not happening fast enough. They're not shutting it down fast enough. Like, how do you go in and just shut it down? You got to show them by their, like, the science that they claim to have. You got to show them, like, hey, there's no study showing this. Here's some studies, blah, blah, blah. It's got to be kind of like that.
So. The easiest way to do the whole thing to fix everything is to take this liability clause out of our laws, where these guys, how can you make a product and have no liability for any harm it causes? How is that legal? I mean,
And mandate it.
And mandate it. Right. Yeah. I know. It's ridiculous. And that's all that needs to change. I don't know if they can pull it off. I mean, Kennedy's running against a brick wall as it is.
Yeah, yeah,
pretty much. John C. Dvorak, thank you for your courage. This has been great. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for doing what you do, and give our best to Adam.
I will, and I'll see you guys in a couple of years.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Awesome.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was a chat with the legendary John C. Dvorak. From No Agenda, man, I guess. So I must have been listening to No Agenda since right or the first year we started the show,
2014. Yeah.
12 years. So ITM, we hope you guys appreciated the show. Big thanks to John for coming to the show. Big thanks to you guys for listening. Even bigger thanks to the people that get some value from the show. If you do get some value from our podcast, from that adds value to commute or your day or wherever you're listening, head over to grimerica.ca/support and sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation today and send some value back our way so that we can keep doing the podcast for you. And you guys can keep sending support. We'll keep doing the podcast and we can keep this sort of thing going. Otherwise, it all just falls off the tracks. But Check out GrimericOutlawed.ca for their podcast. Contact at thecabin.com for trips and events. AdultBrain.ca for ebooks, audiobooks, and print books. You can also publish your book if that's what you're into. And GrimericaCBD.com for gummies and tinctures. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Against the machine. Don't get comfortable.